Gorgeous George and Goes, are you ready? Junkie Nation, are you ready? Well, let's get it on!
From the fight capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada, this is MMA Junkie Radio.
We rollin'!
What's going on, Junkie Nation? It's Gorgeous George and Goes. Not Muttley. That laugh was me. Goes cracking up right before the show. Goes, why am I Julius?
You're Julius because remember the way he just stared at everybody when he was eating that burger and then drinking that drink?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Jules from Pulp Fiction.
Yeah, that's why I was like, we're ready to start the show. And I go, are you ready? And he just took like a big bite of a muffin and then took a drink of something. I was like, standing there.
Yeah, so, folks, that won't stop us from giving you a fun show today. We got a couple cats we're going to catch up with. Rashad Evans, former UFC light heavyweight champion, and Curtis Millender, former PFL, Bellator, and UFC contender, kind of doing his own thing right now. Going to box, actually. I'll let the cat out. Talk to both of them. And then finally, with all the awards that have been given out, I'll give you my version of what I thought, where I would have gone if it was just a monarchy, right? And it was just me calling the shots. But we're a democracy. We vote as a collective group, and sometimes, you know, we have differing opinions, and that there's nothing wrong with that either. So we'll go over that, and of course, some of the latest news that is out there. Buckle up, Junkie Nation. It's MMA Junkie Radio on a Sunday, January 9th, for Monday morning delivery. First, let me give a shout out to the San Francisco 49ers who got the job done today in Los Angeles. They defeated the Los Angeles Rams to make it into the playoffs. They had an out if they lost, but the Saints lost, they'd still be in. But they chose to basically write their own history. They came from behind, down 17-0, and won.
Mm-hmm. That's a pretty big victory. I don't know, but you guys got Dallas next. Tease that you want to go to that game, and I was going to tell you I think you should go, but I don't want to be a devil, especially with getting on planes and all that. But man, it does just sound like a good game to go to.
It does, and we have a cousin that lives in Dallas, so we'll see what happens. Rashad Evans had brought something up another time that I talked to him, and that's, you just kind of never know what's what, right?
Yeah.
In life.
He always says that.
A few fighters say that, yeah. So sometimes you pick your spots. All right. Look, we got to address some big news, though. Last week we gave out all these fights that had taken place, and one that just fell off. It is Alexander Volkanovski against Max Holloway. Max Holloway has now pulled out of the fight, and it was a big merry-go-round, man. It was a carousel of fighters that were volunteering themselves on Friday. The fans got into it. The media got into it. Old Alex Volkanovski got into it. Let me give you some names. The Korean Zombie, Yair Rodriguez, Giga Chikadze, of course, Henry Cejudo. He's in there. He's in that mix. Josh Emmett. And, boy, I thought there was one other name. Anyway. We'll get to them all. Let's take them one by one. Josh Emmett had an interview scheduled with Mike Bond about 20 minutes before this news broke. So he addressed it. Hey, man, I've won four in a row. Why not me? Well, I'd say the only thing that's hurt him, Goes, is he's not as big of a name as the other guys. He hasn't really had those big fights versus quality opponents yet. But he has won four in a row in the UFC, and in that division, that's something.
And it's a fresh matchup. You know, it's something that's interesting. You're right. Like, he doesn't maybe have that star power that maybe like a Giga Chikadze would have. And if Giga beats Calvin Kattar, which, let's be honest, when Giga gets a victory, it kind of makes a mark. So you would think that he would maybe have a little bit more of a lead. But I don't hate Emmett for putting his name out there. I don't think that he doesn't deserve to be somewhere there. I just don't think he'll get it.
Part of the equation is, does it sell, and have you earned it? You know, that's mm-hmm. the business side coming from the UFC, along with the matchmakers who, you know, make these fights, and they give them names: number one contender fight, title contender fight, you know, whatever. Giga definitely turned a corner with Cub and Barbosa. Those were big names that he won. And now beating Cater would be even, you know, arguably bigger because he's higher ranked. Cater is coming off a loss, though, to Max Holloway. So if anybody goes, well, what about Cater? Beating Giga would be tremendous, but I don't know if that gets you into a title shot. I think Emmett at that point, his four-fight win streak might hold up. But now you got the Korean Zombie. He's involved, right? And Yair Rodriguez is going, well, I beat him. Why can't I be involved? Well, Yair is coming off a loss, whereas the Zombie's coming off a couple wins. Now, you could throw in Frankie Edgar in the mix, and that round robin's interesting because Yair lost to Frankie Edgar, who the Korean Zombie beat in that little run that he's had. So I'm not in any way throwing Frankie Edgar, by the way, in the mix. He's now a bantamweight. But still, I suppose every fighter has some sort of an argument. The Korean Zombie's super popular. And let's not forget, Korean Zombie's had a title shot. He fought in Brazil against Jose Aldo. So Yair could say, hey, he had his shot. And though Yair lost to Max, a lot of people give him credit for how good he looked. Now there's also Henry Cejudo, Triple C, trying to be C4. And goes, I'm not against it, man. He became a star. He went for it. He was cringy, but he accepted it. And he fought his ass off, and he beat some good fighters along the way. One that even admitted towards and got caught for cheating, you know, TJ Dillashaw, Dominic Cruz, Marlon Moraes. He beat good fighters, and that would be pretty historical. The only problem that I see is maybe the UFC going, wait, hold on a second. We learned from GSP. You're going to dip in, win, and not defend it. Now we have another vacancy. So I don't know. I don't know if the UFC would be into that. What do you favor?
Dude, so you brought up Yair Rodriguez. And one of the reasons that I love Alexander Volkanovsky is he just kind of like, I always seem to be on the same wavelength as him. And I don't know if you saw the Twitter exchange.
Calm down, yeah. Mate. Something like that. Did he tell him calm down, mate?
Yair Rodriguez just came at him, you know, at 100 miles an hour. And he just writes back, calm down, mate. Like, this is the exact same thing I was thinking. Like, just settle down. Calm down. We're just like, you don't need to come at me like this. Like, what is all this? I mean, a lot of people want to be in on this sweepstakes. But for me, I think the front runner is probably Giga, I think. Because Josh Emmett is just not a sexy name. And Korean Zombie is kind of a sexy name, but I don't know that he's done things that really make you feel like he's the guy. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Triple C, yeah, be great. But, I mean, we see this all the time. You know, is he really going to do it? What does it come down to? The UFC paying him? If they do pay you, you're going to stick around? What the hell is that all about? If you told me tomorrow it's Triple C, down. I am in. That's a great fight. It's a good fight for Alexander Volkanovsky's legacy, right? It's great for Triple C's legacy. But I just don't see it happening.
I got a feeling it's going to be Zombie. And even though Yair beat Zombie, which, by the way, if I'm going to give Yair credit for looking good in the loss to Max Holloway, I also have to say, Yair, partner, you won that fight against TKZ. No one's trying to take that away from you. That was a vicious up elbow that you threw perfectly timed. But you were seconds away from the ring announcer saying Korean Zombie's the winner and him going home with two checks, too. He won that fight pretty handily, in my opinion, or was winning it. So if you want to split hairs, you know, that just needs to be mentioned. We never try and take away the losses or wins. You just kind of want to point that out and just be fair to everyone. Everyone's showing up with a resume to an interview, and we got to pick someone. I'd say Emmett has a strong case. I'd say Korean Zombie has a strong case. And I'd say Triple C, Cater, even if he beats Giga. And Yair, they're outside looking in. I'd say Giga. I didn't mention him the first time. Giga, Emmett, and Triple C.
Mm-hmm.
If Giga loses, then it's just sorry. Holy cow! Then it's just Emmett and yeah. So you might as well wait 6 more days, right, before announcing. Giga fights Cater. I don't see the point in announcing it.
No, what I was getting at was, what if Cater wins? Like, what if he has a great performance? Just being the hot hand, you could maybe throw his name in the mix?
What Max did to him, he would have to do to Giga.
Right.
He'd have to get on the mic and just talk some mad shit, which he's capable of. He just doesn't really like to do it, even though he's got a little bit of that Boston swag to him. He's not really much for it. I don't see him ever backing down from someone, but he just doesn't really offer it like that. So it would have to be like a perfect storm of a fight. Mm-hmm. And if so, then maybe he has a chance. But now what he needs is for Emmett to say, well, I tweaked my knee, and if the doctor says it's okay, you know, or if the Korean zombie can get out of Korea, you know, whatever. Then I suppose the UFC can go, hey, look, this guy was ready to go. We got him. Because the UFC has no problem just shutting the door on you, like George Jefferson. Oh, sorry, man. We're going with this guy. He's the hot hand, and you said this. Boom. But I think they're going to wait for the fight, and once the fight's over, then it'll be more clear. All right, we can't spend too much time on this. It was a big deal, and check out Junkie if you want to look. There's the original story, and then obviously follow-ups with some of the fighters and Twitter React stuff to that fight that's going to happen in March. It's the same fight card as Aljamain Sterling when he defends versus Peter Yan. So that would be UFC 272. UFC 271 is Israel Adesanya versus Robert Whittaker in Houston, Texas in February. And UFC 270 is just in 2 weeks away. Francis Ngannou and Ciryl Gane, Brandon Moreno and Davison Figueiredo. Okay, we'll come back and tackle some of the news. I want to get to one of the guests because Rashad Evans is ready to go. Let's talk to Sugar Rashad, who's got a big fight coming up here in a few weeks himself. He is coming out of retirement to face Gabriel Checo at Khabib Nurmagomedov's organization at their promotion debut here in the United States, Eagle FC. Junkie Nation, Gorgeous George and Goz are back. We got an MMA superstar with us. He's coming out of retirement to fight at Eagle FC, and it's going to take place on January 28th. His opponent will be Gabriel Checo. It's the one and only Sugar Rashad Evans. What's up, Rashad? How are you?
I'm good, man. How about you, Gorgeous George?
All right, man. Hey, listen. I failed to mention the winner of the Ultimate Fighter, a world champion in the light heavyweight division. Hall of Fame, you know what I mean? Like, seriously, the career you've had, this was kind of a surprise to see you come back. Was it just competitive juices?
Yeah, man, I've been trying to, you know, get myself into a fight for a while now. You know, I feel as if, like, I've been just training for a while, just having fun with it. But then I got to the point where, you know, I kind of started thinking, like, man, maybe let me just get a few more and just see what happened, you know. But I'm excited. You know, it's been a lot of fun to just kind of get back into it and just, you know, start to train again like old times.
Is it in any way like even before, like Glover, for example? Glover seemed to inspire a lot of people in their upper 30s, lower 40s. You know, was it any particular story like that, or was it just you made up your own mind?
Well, I've been thinking about doing it for a while, but watching Glover go out there look amazing and just kind of, you know, just thinking about, you know, a lot about, you know, and in the lockdown kind of had me thinking too. And just, you know, the way that everything is moving now, you just never know if you're ever going to have a chance to do anything that you love doing anymore. You know, that's just the reality of the situation. And it's kind of unfortunate, but, you know, you look in other countries like Australia and all these countries with these really tough restrictions, you know, it just seems as if like the things that we love to do can, you know, be taken away. And, if I got an opportunity to just fight one more time, then I'll try to do it.
Could it be more than one time, or are you certain it'll just be one time?
No, it can definitely be more than one time. For sure, it can be more than one time. But, you know, I'm 42 years old, so I'm just taking my time, you know, maybe one fight at a time.
And what about calling the desk? I guess I haven't been to a show where I've been close enough to see what it's like for you. Like, for example, you know, when Chuck Liddell, when they show him at the fights, he's like, you know, he's kind of reacting. And are you the same way? Like, again, was it just others that stoked that fire? Or are you, have you been like, you know, at peace? Is this just more like a prize fighter decision?
Yeah, it's more or less like, you know, just something that I wanted to do. You know, watching others is great, but at the same time, it's just about the personal journey, about the personal, you know, goal to go out there and just, you know, test myself. You know, I've been changed my life up, changed my diet up, changed a lot of things up. And, you know, when I got done from competing, I felt as if like I didn't really give everything that I could give. And I felt as also if it's like, you know, I kind of, you know, I stopped really not when it was, you know, my biggest choice to, you know what I'm saying? I felt as if like, I more or less stopped based on, you know, just the emotion of how I was feeling at the time. And just, you know, I couldn't really figure things out, on a certain level. So then I was like, I can't compete like this. But as I started to really, you know, do some, you know, soul searching and just kind of figuring some things out of myself, I got the desire to compete again. So I was like, you know what, let me just try to see what this desire is truly leading to.
You know, in a way, legends like yourself and BJ Penn have helped me make a point that I used to argue with other hardcore MMA fans or media, and that it had to do with legacy. People would say, you know, there was a loss or two. Oh, he's ruining his legacy. And I'm like, no, he's not. And the example I used to give at the time was when Goz and I had gone to a boxing match. I think it was Amir Khan. Who did he fight, Goz? Remember at the Mandalay Bay?
Zab Judah.
So we're getting ready to go in. We're with Stitch Duran. You remember Stitch, right?
Oh, yeah.
And he goes, hey, I think that's Roberto Duran. And I swear to God, like a little schoolgirl at an NSYNC concert, I turned around and my knees weakened because he was a hero of mine in the 80s. My ass is 52. I'm 10 years older than you are. And so I turned around and I saw him, and I was starstruck. Yeah. Now, I don't get like that over anyone. But, Rashad, his losses at the end of his career, fucking care less, man. The guy had already done so much. He was a world champion. He had given me so many memories that stoke, I guess, my fire as a fan of combat sports, that all that shit don't matter. You know, the accomplishments have been set. Y'all have already set those. So really, I was like, no, it has nothing to do with the legacy. They want to do it, and they're healthy. Let them do it. But it doesn't ruin anything because you guys have already cemented your place. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You know, thanks, man. I appreciate that. You know, that's the thing about it, like coming back to even just compete is not, you know, me competing against what I once did before, you know what I'm saying? That it's competing against myself is something to be foolish, but for more or less just kind of compete from, you know, just a place of enjoyment. You know, when I first started fighting, I was fighting because it was something that I was very passionate about. I had a lot of love for, and I really couldn't think of anything else but fighting all the time. And I was like, you know, the only time I would ever do another fight if I felt that feverish about fighting again, if I really truly enjoyed it. And you know, being on the journey that I have been on the last few years, and also coaching and all these different things that has happened in life, just kind of allowed me to see, you know, life and competing differently than I have before. So, you know, I was just wanting more than anything to just kind of you know, explore where that is. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's all a journey at the end of the day, you know, to get into the octagon and fight somebody. It's more mental than it is physical at this point. So it's just, you know, making sure that I'm still able to mentally bring it at that level.
I wanted to ask you a question about your mental state. Is it good to be back, or I never left? What's going on upstairs?
Yeah, it's good to be back. I mean, you know, you definitely feel you left. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's just different, a different grind, you know, when you're a little bit older. But, you know, it's still fun. You know, you still got to, you know, do the mental work that comes along with the physical work. You know, it's very, you know, one-sided. You can get very one-sided sometimes just by trying to, you know, focus on physically making sure you're ready. But if mentally you're not bringing yourself there to that point where you're going to be in a fight, then you're going to be surprised when you get out there. You know, there's no doubt about it. I'm going to feel some kind of surprises when I get out there. But at the end of the day, you know, mentally, I just, you know, bring myself along the way as I do physically speaking.
Physically speaking, when you got back on the mat, you started going at it with people. I know sometimes fighters will say, oh, man, I had an injury. It kept me out for a year. But boy, did I realize that my body needed some rest. How did your body feel? Did you almost feel a little rejuvenated at all out there?
No, I have been feeling really rejuvenated. And also, you know, the diet change and just a lot of different aspects. It's just, you know, allowing my body to rest. And, you know, like right now when I go on train, I'm training a lot with the heavyweights. You know, Greg is about 300 pounds sometimes, maybe even over 300. And, you know, I'm training with him. I'm pushing him to, you know, to his max. And, you know, we're going at it pretty good. And, you know, I got a few other heavyweights that I've trained with. But, you know, going with a big body and going with those big guys is something that my body now feels like it's capable of doing. And, you know, towards the end of my career with the UFC, I just didn't really couldn't, you know, push my body to that level anymore. Just kind of felt like everything hurt. And I really could, you know, I had to start cutting corners just because my body wasn't feeling the way that, you know, that I needed to be feeling at the time.
Sometimes family can be, or fighting can be like a family affair, right? Everybody is involved in it. As far as friends and family go with you, have most people been pretty stoked? Like, oh, there goes Rashad again. We're back at it. Or some people are like, oh man, we got a diet too. You know, dad's dieting. How does that all work out?
Yeah, they've been really, really supportive, you know, just kind of making sure this is something I really want to do. And, you know, they kind of gave me that look like, you sure, you know, this is what you want to do, you know? And, you know, you always get that kind of thing, but I think they see how serious I am about it. And I think that they can, you know, respect the competitive nature and know that if I'm going to decide to do this, I'm going to, you know, make sure that I, you know, do my thing or just, you know, bring forth what I can bring forth. You know, they've, you know, had their little talks with me in their own ways and let me know that, you know, this is something that, you know, they believe that I can do, but at the same time, you know, I got to be smart about it too.
Our guest is Rashad Evans. He's going to be fighting at Eagle FC 44 on Friday, January 28th. So we're only like 3 weeks away, and he's going to be fighting Gabriel Checo at 205. Also on that fight card, Tyrone Spong against Sergey Karatanov. Are you still part of Sanford? I know you and Tyrone used to be teammates. Did you put together a new camp, or are you still with the same crew?
I put together a new camp. I'm more or less training, you know, because I had my own thing going on. You know, before this fight materialized, I was in camp for Greg Hardy, training him for his next fight, the 22nd. So, you know, that's where, you know, I put together a team, and I was training at the at this gym where the Sanford used to train at. It's over, it's called Hard Knocks with XPE, as you know, Tony Villani, his strength conditioning program that he used for professional athletes, get them ready for the combine. And I got a little chance to use that mat space over there with Greg. So we've kind of been forming a team over there, just kind of using that mat space for the morning time and getting some work in.
So Rashad, it's been a while since we chatted, but I wanted to know what you thought of this theory that I have. You know, you moving from Albuquerque to South Florida kind of initiated a lot, and actually it changed a lot of people's lives. You were one of the creators of the Black Zillions, which is now, I guess, splintered off into different groups, different gyms. But a lot of people wanted to join you, some Brazilian, some Black. At least that's the story. We looked around and some Blacks and some Brazilians. That was the Black Zillions. Probably a few, you know, white dudes and Hispanics like us, you know, brought it all together. But did you ever sit back and think, you know, aside from the contributions of being on The Ultimate Fighter and winning that, being a world champion, commentating for ESPN and UFC, you kind of had like a little bit of movement there in South Florida. Heck, that even inspired a season of The Ultimate Fighter. Remember Black Zillions?
Yeah, man. I mean, you know, being a part of that is one of the things that make me so proud. You know, looking at bringing Henry Huth here, Tyrone Spong, you know, Greg Jones, just pretty much so many people that Kamaru Usman. I mean, the list goes on, and everybody that came with that whole wave flow, you know, Anthony Johnson, I can just go on. But I mean, it's just so many different people that came here based off that Black Zillion, and that was an amazing ride. You know, the true testament of the talent that we had at the Black Zillion. You know, you look at guys like Kamaru Usman, you know, Luke Vincente, Gilbert Burns, and also you got Jason Jackson over there in Bellator doing this thing, about to be a world champion. So, you know, we really had a really good program. Brought some of the best coaches in the world, Marius Ferry, you know, Kenny Monday, Henry Hoof. I mean, it was just so many talented Michael Van Arsdale, so many talented coaches that we brought. But being able to bring those guys to the forefront and give our athletes that exposure is really what made these athletes what you are today. And it was a formula that worked. You know, it was a formula that was able to beat ATT. And, you know, they're a legacy team and have a great program and had it for years and years and years with durability. So, you know, to go in there to be able to compete with the likes of that, it just really shows that, you know, Black Zanes, you know, was on the move, you know, and Glenn Robinson, God bless his soul, you know, the big part of all of that.
George Santiago, Eddie Alvarez, Alex Grovering, a lot of people dipped in there for sure, man. A lot of history was made because of that team coming together. And of course, the reality show and the fact that you guys all proved that you had a winning formula. I know you guys go hard in that sparring. That's what I've heard. And a lot of that transferred over to a lot of belts being won. By the way, where were you that day of the sauna incident when ATT wanted to use the sauna?
I don't remember, but I wasn't there that day, man. They had the drama got so thick on that show, man. And it was just when I was coming back from a knee surgery. So I didn't want to get in too many squirrels, but I mean, those guys, man, it was just a very intense season, you know, with Glenn and the guy at ATT not really liking each other. So, I mean, it was just, it was a fun time, you know, some of the funnest times of my life.
Yeah, rest in peace, Glenn Robinson. Yeah, you're talking about Dan Lambert. Yeah,
Dan Lambert. That's Dan Lambert.
Yeah, some of the younger audience has missed out on so much of the history of MMA. I mean, that's even without going back to Hoist Gracie, Don Fry, and Randy Couture. Just even in the last 10 years, so much has gone down, and I would advise young fans to just go back and watch some of that because it was great, great television. And, yeah, that was a one heck of a rivalry that you guys had. Well, the gyms are only 20 minutes apart, I heard, right?
Yeah, only 20 minutes apart. And even still now, you know, Sanford still carries on the legacy that the Black Zanes were. You know, same cast, a lot of the same guys that were part of that team are not part of Sanford. So, you know, they still carry that competitive edge, and they're top team with a lot of top guys that go through Sanford, you know, a lot like how it was with the Black Zillion. So they're still ATT still has a lot of tough competition with Sanford right there. But eventually the Black Zillions will be back, man. I'm going to bring them back one day. I'm actually in the process of kind of, you know, building it up right now. So we're going to see what happens. I feel like it's time again, you know, and I think that even just competing and all everything that's been going on in the last few years and the last few months have just kind of, you know, leading me more towards this direction. I love to compete, but there's just something different about coaching. You know what I'm saying? I kind of enjoy just being a coach, just being able to inspire those guys and get them to, you know, really dig deep and you know, pull out the best in themselves. You know, watching guys like Kamaru Usman and, you know, being a part of, you know, his success and what he's been able to do. It's like I win every single time he goes out there and have a fight.
Do you want to be a head coach like Whitman, Faraz Zahabi, Greg Jack, like that? Or do you just want to form a team and almost be like the owner, I guess? What, can you be a little more specific on that one?
Yeah, no, I'll definitely be the head coach, you know, be part of the team, you know, as well, have ownership of the team, but at the same time, be a head coach, you know, being in there, just making sure those guys get it, you know, because it's not all physical. You know, you can watch a fight and, you know, people think it's all physical, but when it comes down to it, when you're at a certain level, the physicality is part of it because everybody's so good at that level, but it's more mental. You know, I beat a lot of guys that were better than me, but it's just mentally being able to bring it and, you know, being able to have somebody, a coach that can really tap into the mindset of what it means to be a fighter is really important. You know, I think back to like Greg Jackson, you know, one of the biggest things that Greg Jackson got us to do and really got us to really be recognized out of Albuquerque was he just bred a mindset that was just like a dogish mentality. You know, he would mentally destroy us to the point where, you know, we felt as if like we were indestructible, you know, and he would, you know, say things about, you know, samurai accept his death and all these different things where we'll be like running up the mountain and we'll be, you know, chanting his, you know, his verses about, you know, having an honorable death and all those kind of things. But, you know, we'll be starting to believe it. And when it came time to compete, you know, we were just mentally on another level because we were already, you know, conquered that fear of competing.
Wow. I mean, yeah, I knew Greg had that Jedi mind that they talked about, but I didn't know he was so dark like that. He always gave off more of the vibe like, hey, how you doing? How about I mow your lawn today? You
got see, when it came down to training, Greg would kick your teeth in because he was like, look, you know, you can lose. That's okay. But listen, you're gonna make them feel you. That's the whole thing. Like, you can lose a fight, but this guy is gonna know that he's been in the fight. He's been in the war. You know, it's all about just making sure that your will is not gonna be dominated by anybody else's. And, you know, he really brought you to that place before the fight.
Is there anything you didn't do in the first, I don't wanna say your first career, but before retiring, that you had regretted that you hope to do in this fight or this next set of fights?
Nah, there's nothing. There's nothing. I'm not in here to prove any point like that. I'm just out here just to go out there and have fun. You know, I think that, you know, it'd be silly of me at this point to kind of, you know, put that kind of pressure on myself. You know, at the end of the day, you know, this is a win for me in general, just being able to go out there and compete and test myself at this level. I don't want to add any pressure like that, you know.
I guess what I meant more was like a Showtime kick or that Anderson elbow. That
like a highlight, like another highlight?
Yeah, just something like bizarre. Like, oh, you know, sometimes I used to – remember Carl Parisian?
Yeah.
He used to have some of the nastiest judo throws, and I used to wonder why that doesn't get replicated. That was his thing, you know, and every once in a while, I appreciate a great judo throw.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I mean, there's nothing like that. I mean, I just want to go out there and flow when I'm fighting, you know, and let it happen. And then, you know, whatever amazing happens out there. I mean, I think that's just, you know, the key to being present. You know, when I had my biggest fights with the biggest highlights, I was just very extremely present at the moment and just truly enjoying myself. So I feel like as long as I'm in that mode, then something magical definitely can happen.
Okay, last question, because I wonder weird shit like this. But if you're in Vegas and things open up again and you're at the Encore, what happens if you see Quentin now? Can you guys just laugh it off and have a drink? Or do we still need to separate everybody?
Nah, me and Quentin are actually pretty cool nowadays.
Nice.
Yeah, we're pretty cool. We did a movie together, Boss Level, and we got to play some German twins. So it was good to kind of sit down and work with him. Just really just, you know, we spent a lot of time together. And, you know, we just talked about, you know, past fights and stuff like that. And just, you know, we even trained together a couple of times. So it was pretty cool to get to really know him on a level, because getting to know him in a whole fight situation, I definitely had a lot of respect for him. But at the end of the day, you just feel like you never know the real person. But getting a chance to work with him and just kind of spend a few days, a few months together, actually a few weeks together, got me a chance to really get to know him.
German twins, though? What's the angle here?
I know, man.
I watch a lot of soccer, so I've seen brothers that represent Germany all over the country and everything. It just threw me off a little. I'm old school. How did we figure here?
I don't know, man. It was a funny direction. And I was just like
me and Goz couldn't say, yeah, we represented Antarctica in the Olympics, or, you know, you'd be like, what? That's a trip there, you know. But
I know, it was funny when we had to like even speak German.
Nice. All right. Well, when can we see that, or did it dip out and I just missed it?
No, it's out. You can check it out on Hulu. It's out on Hulu. It's a really good movie. It's a really good movie.
Yeah, I'm going to have to check that out. All right. Hey, man, we appreciate the time. Well, late on a Sunday. Sorry for, I guess, taking up almost 30 minutes or 25 minutes. But we appreciate it as always. And we're really pumped up to watch you fight and compete again. Been big fans from the very beginning. And we get to see you go, you know, make that walk again.
Thank you. I appreciate it, guys. I appreciate the support. And I appreciate the interview. And I look forward to talking to you after the fight as well.
Nice. We will. All right. Count on it. See you, Rashad. Take care.
All right. Peace.
Man, it was kind of like going down memory lane with that guy. A few of the things we discussed, you know, the Black Zillions and all.
Dude, he kind of said all the right things, though. Like, everything I would want to hear out of a fighter in his situation, he said them all. Like, that was a 10 for me.
He wants to coach one day, too.
Yeah, I'm glad to see him back at this capacity. Now, it's no disrespect against Gabriel Checo or anything like that. I think Gabriel Checo is a good fighter. But I think this is a good fight for Rashad. I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
I saw Gabriel Checo get a mean knockout down in Costa Mesa, California once. And, of course, we all know he's a really good grappler. So Rashad definitely has his hands full. He's a young, he's younger than Rashad, who's early 40s. But I think the matchmaking is pretty good in this fight. I'm looking forward to that fight. Sergey Karatanov and Tyron Spong in the main event. It's on the schedule tab if you want to check out there on MMA Junkie. A few other fighters, Ray Borg's on that card, John Howard. So some veterans, they've done a good job, Eagle FC, in their the promotions debut in the United States and under Khabib Nurmagomedov, who bought them and took over, I guess, in 2020. And by the way, I think Rashad said something similar to what we were saying that he says, right? You just got to live in that moment.
Yeah.
You notice he brought that up?
Uh-huh. That's one of his sayings that he's known for.
Yeah. Okay. So now before we get to Curtis Millender goes, let me kind of go over some of these awards that were given out on our site. I want to be clear about this because some of you little twats like to go running and tagging people and this is what was said. See, we almost have to present like this whole full version of what we say so that people don't just take snippets. But basically, these are the awards done by MMA Junkie. We've done it for many years. We're very proud of them. They're very similar to the World MMA Awards and other websites, I'm sure. Sometimes we differ, and sometimes they have awards that we don't give, and they have, and vice versa. In the end, we all contribute. But most of the time, well, yeah, I guess I remember distinctly Female Fighter of the Year coming down to a vote, you know, between the whole team. Other times we'll just kind of agree when we communicate, you know, as a whole. But sometimes we actually have to take a vote and do it the democratic way. But for the most part, we usually agree. I don't think anyone's ever pissed off or put off. So this is more in fun. So let's start off here. I have a list, and I'll blast through these as quick as possible because I know we have another guest, and there's definitely some more news to discuss. All right, you ready to go, guys?
Sure.
All right, so the first one was obviously Fighter of the Year male, Kamaru Usman. I just don't see anyone that had a problem with a guy that defended his belt three times in 266 days, had 100 days to spare, and he beat all of the top guys. Now, two of them for the second time, Colby Covington, who gave him a great fight, by the way. More on that later. George Masvidal, first time he's ever been knocked out. Gilbert Burns. So his opposition was adequate, and he looked great.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to try not to comment as much so that you have time to do it, because I pretty much agree with the award. So,
okay. Female Fighter of the Year, Juliana Pena. Where did you vote here? I know we threw out a few names. Valentina Shevchenko was in the running. Kayla Harrison was in the running. And Rose Namajunas, I think, was the other popular name. Where did you vote eventually?
I voted Juliana Pena.
So you feel like the weight of beating Amanda Nunes carried her to victory. That was enough. I mean, she had the Sarah McMahon win, too. I don't want to take anything away. There was a finish there. Those were her two wins, but Amanda Nunes is what distanced her over the other two champions?
Yeah, because of the quality of the opposition, you know, the situation that she was in. Sarah McMahon's a good win, and she got a finish in it. And then she not only beat Amanda Nunes, she got a finish in the fight. So that's a great year, I think, for anyone.
I won't spend too much time on this. Rose went 2-0, but she beat pretty much the number two fighter in the division both times, once by KO and once by split decision. In fact, I think when we were in Virginia, I was saying Rose needed a finish. I thought Zhang Weili may even be up three rounds. A few others thought the same thing. But in the end, the judges scored it the way they scored it, and I'm not in an uproar over it. But there was a close call there. But still, against the number one fought number two. And Valentina Shevchenko, she beat two. I mean, she's kind of cleared out the whole division. But every single time, I think she's fought pretty much the top contender who's on some sort of a streak to get to her. And then she goes in there and is devastating. So look, here's where I'll spend most of my time. The only problem I had, because what Juliana did was incredible. And I don't care that she caught a man on a bad day. But the only problem I had was if Juliana Pena had performed like Holly Holm did against Ronda Rousey, where she actually kicked her ass nonstop, thwarted the best attacks Rousey had to get, and Rousey had no answer for Holly Holm. Clear finish, no controversy there. Then that probably is enough to make me go, yeah, let's give it to Juliana Pena. How I feel, though, is that Juliana Pena got knocked down twice, got her butt served up nicely in the first round, maybe even a 10-8. And only because Amanda, I believe, because who's seen Amanda gas lately, man? She went five with Raquel, and, you know, she's gone past the second round. But I don't know, man. You sleep in silk sheets, you don't train as hard, they say. Tyson said that. Someone said that. Muhammad, I don't know.
Hagler,
okay. And but all of a sudden, she wilted, and then, you know, so many fighters have tried to take her down. Juliana took her down pretty easily. But then again, that's the strength of Juliana, so I'll give her that. But the submission, like, Amanda basically gave up in the middle of the takedown. That was not locked in. She kind of just said, this isn't my night. I'm not going to fight through it. Congrats, Juliana. See you in 6 months. I felt like that was very different from Holly Holm, who executed a plan perfectly and left no doubt.
I feel it is different because I feel like at the start of Holm and Rousey, we all said, if this stays standing, she's got a very good chance. Nobody said that Juliana Pena had a chance, whether it was standing, whether they were upside down, on the ground, out in the parking lot. We all felt she had zero chance.
I've heard you say many times, if the best Juliana, if the best Amanda Nunes, blah, 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 that's what we didn't get, the best Amanda Nunes. That's my problem with it. I you know, like,
how do you know you got the best Ronda Rousey, or that we didn't get the best Ronda Rousey against Holly? I mean, like, we all felt she had a chance. We felt she had no chance against Amanda.
Well, the reason is because Ronda Rousey in 10 fights out of 10 could not strike with Holly Holm. But she couldn't get Holly Holm down. And when she did, Holly Holm got up.
But that's what makes it not as surprising. That's why I feel like one is better than the other.
I still felt like just Valentina performed way more better than her opposition than what Juliana did against hers. But I do credit her for doing what even Valentina couldn't do, you know. And now let's see if she has a great run. And with every win, I'll probably shut my pie hole more and more. But I still feel like Amanda will probably win that rematch. And again, I'll gladly eat crow if she doesn't. Okay, the next fight, the next award was, boy, it's a little slow here. Knockout of the year, Sergio Pettis defeated Kyoji Horiguchi. What did you think of that, Goz?
You know what? I feel like I had chosen something else. I might have chosen some. I was okay with it because I thought it was spectacular. But man, I feel like I picked something else. What were the other options?
Well, here's my point. Just alone, if you were to come back, like almost like, I don't want to shit on anybody, but Sergio Pettis was getting his butt kicked. He landed a Hail Mary, and he won. He defeated somebody who was clearly beating him and he had no answer for. I was more impressed with Kamaru Usman knocking out Jorge Masvidal, because Jorge Masvidal has the strength, and that's his hands, his boxing. And he's never been knocked out, and he cleanly knocked him out. And the punch itself was a thing of beauty, Goz. He actually used his left hand to control Jorge, but that wasn't the hand that was going to block him anyway. And then he just put it. I mean, he delivered the right hand and went right straight through Jorge. Couple follow-ups. That was nice. Another one that I really liked was Ngannou's left hook against Stipe Miocic, who boxed Golden Gloves, who's known to have hands, who's the best heavyweight ever. I'm more impressed, I guess, by the opposition and what they did to the opposition and in their strengths by those two guys than I am by some guy that threw the spinning back kicks. Now, I would say, like, most clutch KO, maybe, or a fighter to fight through the most adversity. I don't know. Something like that. I tip my hat, man, but not KO of the year.
I remember who it was. I went with Corey Sandhagen. I thought that knee was just brutal. I remember not only thinking, is the fight over? I thought, is this dude alive? Like, I mean, that's how bad that was. And even before that, I had Usman. What he did to Masvidal, I thought was pretty brutal.
Isn't that what I said? I said Usman. It was Masvidal, right?
No, you said Miocic. You said
No, I said Ngannou and Miocic, yeah. But Masvidal, what Usman did to Masvidal was very impressive.
Mm-hmm.
I would go with one of those two. And if you say, well, pick one, dummy, then I'd go, okay. Probably Usman's was a little bit more cleaner. But Ngannou had the left hook, which was beautiful. And then that thundering Donkey Kong punch goes was one of the loudest cracks I've ever heard. So it was like just an emphatic win, you know. At that level, those are the biggest men in the world, and they're cracking at each other. But I think I'd go with Usman. But, all right, I'm not going to harp too long on these because I'm not trying to switch them. I'm just giving you guys my opinion. The next one was the submission of the year, Andre Muniz versus Jacare Souza. I think we're all good there, right?
Yeah.
That was one hell of a break of his arm over a very decorated practitioner of jiu-jitsu. Fight of the year, Gaethje versus Chandler. I probably don't have a chance here because everyone loved this fight. The only thing I'll say is I loved Kamaru Usman and Colby Covington. And here's why. Because both guys made adjustments. They both won two rounds each going into that fifth. And then one guy just persevered a little bit more. But I really love it when fighters have to make adjustments mid-fight and do it. They execute it. And further, nobody thought Colby could stand with Usman, and he did, which proved to me that he was a better Colby Covington than in his last fight. And that's why he gave Usman so much trouble. His cardio was also better. I'm more impressed, I guess, by those tactics and that performance than, don't get me wrong, the first round or two of Gaethje Chandler was very, very clean and awesome. But then at the end, I felt like they were just two of the toughest hombres on earth and they couldn't finish each other. And they just got a little bit too sloppy. And that's fine, man. Don't get me wrong. I'm cheering. I'm raising a beer. I want to take a picture with those guys. But I felt like there has to be a difference where you also distinguish yourself from someone who is entertaining, but you also understand how important it is to do what you want to do, and that's to be a world champion. Those both guys want to be a world champion. And I guess that's where their performance just dropped off a little bit. Their tactics, I guess, dropped off a little bit too much for me. And I, more to my palate, was Usman versus Covington.
All right.
Okay. The other ones, I guess, I'll just blast through these. Those are kind of like the big ones. The other ones would be a breakout fight of the year, Giga Chikadze. Nobody had a problem with that. UFC 261 was pretty amazing. I kind of didn't have a problem with that one either. That was the one, if anyone needs a quick jog of the memory, Valentina beat Jessica Andrade. Zhang Weili versus Rose was awesome. Kamara versus Masvidal. But it was violent. Hall broke Weidman's leg, and Anthony Smith busted up Jimmy Crute. The nerve. Remember the nerve damage? The only card that I would say, this one was pretty sick too, was Usman Covington, Gaethje Chandler, Nama Yunus versus Zhang Weili. Holy cow, man. And then even Burgos versus Quarantillo was kind of nice. It's just they don't have really popularity. And then Marlon Vera goes versus Frankie Edgar. Remember the Lyoto Machida front kick, the Anderson Silva front kick?
Yeah.
I thought, ooh, I don't know. I may have gone in that direction there. Do you have a preference, or did you like UFC 261 winning that one?
I like the UFC 261.
Coach Trevor Whitman? Yeah, he finished strong. It's kind of hard to argue when Rose went 2-0, Kamara went 3-0, and Gaethje was pretty much a beast the whole year as well, right?
Right.
And then the rest, Gym of the Year, Extreme Couture, happy for the guys there. They had a couple guys that have trained there a lot, especially Ngannou win. Aljo kind of splits time between there and Longo's gym. But then fighters like Sean Strickland, Chris Curtis, Misha Tate came back and went 1-1. Casey O'Neill's doing real good. You know, they had a lot of fighters that fought out of that gym that contributed. All right, look, we're going to talk to Curtis Millender. He's ready to go. Let's do that. And if I have some time, we'll do some of the rest. If not, I'll just let them spill over till the next show goes. Let's talk to Curtis Millender. He's ready to go. What's going on, Junkie Nation? Gorgeous George and Gozer back. We're going to be talking to Curtis Millender, professional boxer soon to be. But, of course, you know him from his days in the UFC, in Bellator, and in PFL. He's a SoCal guy like us. What's up, Curtis? How you been, man?
I'm great. How you guys doing?
Doing awesome. It's great to talk to you. Happy New Year.
Same to you. Same to you.
Thank you. And, hey, what a surprise. You know, when we exchanged texts the other day, you're going the boxing route. How did this all come about?
Well, it's going to be actually for Fight Club OC where I started. I'm actually fighting a former Fight Club OC opponent. It's going to be his last fight. He wanted to go out as big as possible, fight a bigger name. And, you know, I was available. I needed to get in shape. So for whatever's going to come later in the year. So, you know, I took it. I've always wanted to box. And, you know, what better place to do it than at home?
Yeah, that's true. And look, it seems like a lot of fighters from the MMA world are just kind of licking their chops. You know, they want to get in there, you know, whether it's the latest phase or fad that, you know, a lot of fighters like Anderson Silva and Tyron Woodley and everyone else is going through. Or maybe it's just people wanting to challenge themselves, because it's so true. The difficult times that we're in, sometimes you think, geez, tomorrow's not really guaranteed. And did I hit my bucket list? Did I try to hit my bucket list? Did I,
yeah,
you know, can I do this when I'm 40 or 50? You know, like I got to do it now. Like, did you feel that sense of it and urgency as well? Like, just, you know, wanting to, like, I guess tick a box or you know what I mean?
It wasn't too much of a sense of urgency, but I knew when the opportunity came about, I was like, yo, I might as well just take it. I might as well have some fun with it and do it. Like I said, I can use it to get in shape, you know, because I was like hoping to get back into the PFL this April. So it's big. It's easy to get in shape for this fight. I have my weight low because we know I get a little heavy in between. So, yeah, so it was, you know, I was going to do it regardless. I definitely was going to do it at 40. So,
okay. So just so everybody knows, Curtis is going to be boxing against John Mercurio, and they're going to go 5 rounds. It is at OC Fight Club, which, if correct me if I'm wrong, Curtis, you guys do hybrid cards anyway, where it can be boxing and MMA in the same night, but it's been a promoter that started off in the boxing world and slowly embraced MMA. But is this going to be a hybrid card like some of them are?
Yes, it's going to be a hybrid card. Actually, one of my teammates, Nick Matea, is also on the card. He'll be doing MMA. It's an up-and-coming featherweight. So it's going to be a hybrid show. It's going to be a great show. A lot of really good up-and-coming boxers on the show as well. So,
now, is this just a pit stop, or you want to knock out a few of these boxing matches, like, you know, since you're, I guess, starting to dabble in boxing?
I mean, I got to pay for the license, so I might as well get the license worth. Get a couple in, but, you know, my heart, my love, everything is still with MMA. Like, I still plan to be the best MMA fighter at welterweight on the planet. And whatever I have to do that, I'm going to do it.
Yeah, and I remember asking you, so are you retiring from MMA? You said, hell no. So I could tell what your first love is. But in this fight, is it personal at all? You defeated John Mercurio a few years ago in MMA. So is it one of those where, like, you guys just carried a grudge? You guys cool? What's the story there?
You know, it's funny. For probably the first 2 years, after 2 to 3 years after our fight, it was a little bit of a grudge. It was like some videos of, I don't know if it was his girlfriend or one of his fans, like, I'm taking a picture with someone and they came up and like flipped me off. Like, so... and then we ended up having the same management, and we ended up not getting like cool and hanging out, but we would run into each other, see each other, and, you know, it was no beef to really have. So when this, like I said, when this opportunity came, and, you know, I heard he wanted to have one more fight, I was like, oh well, I want to box too. Let's do it. We can do it at home. He's a big deal here in Orange County. You know, I am who I am here. You know, I am Mr. Thursday Night. This is my show. I have more fights than anybody ever at the hangar for Fight Club OC. So I figured it'd be fun.
It is your home turf for sure. And for those that don't know, you start off in the wrestling world before MMA and now in boxing. Yeah. So you really have gotten a chance to dabble in the most popular combat sports. No disrespect to karate and taekwondo, but, you know, like the ones that really, really draw the most crowds.
Exactly, exactly. And I'm so blessed and fortunate to, you know, be doing exactly what I wanted to do since I was a kid, like a child. I knew it was going to be fighting or wrestling, and I'm here still doing it. So,
although I will say, I don't know if you do you watch karate, Cobra Kai? Sorry,
I can't get into it. No, can't get into it. Yeah, that's just bro, it doesn't.
I'm
do it
on
for
season
me.
Four, and all due respect, they had a good crowd at the All Valley tournament this year, so maybe I shouldn't say just wrestling. They may have even had more of a crowd that I've seen in some wrestling meets. So, you know, the karate crowd might push back on me on that one, but you got to reconsider, Curtis.
I'll try to go back. My baby brother, I literally just seen a post of him saying that he just finished and he can't wait for the next season. So maybe I'll try it again, but I don't know. I just can't get into it.
Okay, you saw the movies in the 80s, right? Maybe not as a kid, or you caught them at some point, right?
Yes.
So what's the problem? I mean, they brought back a lot of former stars. There's some good fight scenes. Like, what's the problem here?
I don't know. I think I just can't get past the dialogue. I feel like the dialogue is too corny for me.
Okay, I'm going to trade you off the Ghost because I can't handle this right now. I really love Cobra Kai, and I can't believe I'm not going to get a fist bump from you. I thought for sure you're going to be like, I'm with you, dog. Ghost, handle Curtis.
I'm hurting too, but we're going to get through this. I think he'll turn it around. He's got to like the show, man. Curtis, so in training for boxing and all that, is there the possibility, like the same way when somebody goes to their jiu-jitsu class for the first time, they always say, I caught a bug. You know, I just all of a sudden I wanted to keep doing it. Is there any chance at all? I mean, I'm pretty sure you probably grew up a little bit on boxing, old boxing movies. Any way you can catch that boxing bug and just keep going and keep going?
No, I don't doubt that because, you know, my favorite athlete, my favorite fighter period is Floyd Mayweather. So I can go in there and get some knockouts and be hooked. But, you know, the opportunity is open. Whatever, like I say it all the time, whatever's going to help me put the food on the table and get the dope Christmas gifts and get the big house for my kids, I'm down. I'm going to do it.
Now, you don't have to share numbers exact, but is the pay for boxing for you to go and do something like that, is it somewhat similar to what you would get in mixed martial arts? Is it more? Is it less? Like,
this is a smaller show, so it's a little less, but I'm sure there's going to be bigger opportunities.
And when those bigger opportunities come, let's just say you get an offer for an MMA, an offer for boxing, but they pay the same. Is there one you would take in a heartbeat, or does it have to do with matchups and all that?
Most likely matchups. You know, if they give me somebody I would really want to fight, like, you know, I still have a couple bucket list fights out there in MMA. I would definitely take it. But, it will come down to the matchup.
What are the bucket list matchups? I mean, you put it out there. Now you got to tell us.
I mean, I would love the Roy. Literally, my last two fights, those are probably the two biggest bucket list matchups, especially the Roy one. You know, circumstances on how that fight came about and how I had to take that fight short notice. I just feel like I could have been a different Curtis Millender with the right training and the right circumstances.
You've probably had a couple of those scenarios pop up throughout your career where,
right?
in talking to you, we found out that maybe that's not the best Curtis Millender that's being represented, but fans don't really look at it that way, right? They just look at the W's and the L's.
Yeah.
I imagine that can be a frustrating thing, but do you ever regret doing those? I mean, it was still a big spotlight for you and maybe a learning experience?
No, yeah, not at all. I definitely don't regret it. You know, it's definitely a privilege and an honor to even say, like, yo, I main evented against Roy McDonald. Like, not very many guys can say that. There's not very many guys that say, oh, you know, I got to fight Thiago Alves. I got to fight one of my heroes, like so one of the guys I studied. And, like, this, not a lot of guys get to do that. So I don't regret anything at all. just got to work hard and try to get back to those places where I can, you know, get some get back.
What is your MMA update? You mentioned possibly PFL again. Have you had dialogue with them? Does it sound like that's a likely destination, or are there even other opportunities?
I'm hoping I can get back. You know, we'll see what happens, but my services for the highest bidder. Like anywhere I can get in to where I can get to that belt, get to the money, I am 100% in, 100% down.
And it's always at welterweight now. Are you going to be more consistent with that, or are you open
to nah, man. This fight is going to be at 185, and that's just because the last few months I've been going through, you know, finding a new team, a new gym to train at. So I didn't have very consistent training over the last few months, so I got a little chunky. Me and John Mercurio, we agreed to fight at 185. He didn't want to cut weight either, so. I mean, I still got to cut a lot of weight, but he didn't want to cut weight. So it was me, not 185 was fine. And, you know, me getting down to 85 for this fight, I can be at the weight I normally am. And now I can get ready for 70 after this fight.
What MMA gym do you think you might wind up at? Are there any that
I've already picked a spot. I am at the Body Shop with Antonio McKee.
Oh,
so, yeah, you know, he's been wanting me for a long time. He's been telling me to get over here for a long time. And I shopped around a little bit, and this was just, you know, the right fit. And I still go over and train at CSW. I still love, you know, Ben Jones and my team over there. But it was definitely time for a change for me.
Dust off that them wrestling shoes and get that singlet. Coach Antonio, he's going to push that angle hard.
Man, no joke. He is just no joke over there.
And please show up on time. Do not show up.
I'm always early. I'm always early.
Yeah, the coach don't play, man. But that gym's got, you know, so much buzz going now with their world champion and AJ McKee and, you know, a few of the other supporting cast that are also winning some big fights. So we're very, very happy for the Body Shop.
Yeah, I'm loving it over there, and I plan to be there for a long time.
Curtis, let me just do this last thing here. And as I do it, you just stop me when you want to interject. But I'm going to go over your career, and you tell me what jumps out at you in terms of, like, I want to address that or, you know, whatever. I'm just going to go through it like a fan would. I don't mean any disrespect, and then you can just chime in at the end, or if you want to jump in and just say something, all right?
All right.
We're just trying something new here. All right, so Curtis Millender, our guest here, he's had a unique career in that he's fought like all of the major organizations, start off with a 6-0 run. Then he took a couple of L's over at Bellator. Good fighters, though, Brennan Ward, Fernando Gonzalez. Then he caught a win at Bellator. However, that first run at Bellator was over. Then he took a loss to Eddie Mendez. He sits at 8-3 at that point. And then my man rattled off 9 in a row, including fighting through LFA and going 3-0 with them, 3-0 with the UFC, wins over Thiago Alves, Max Griffin, C.R. Bahar Dusada, good strikers, veteran strikers, guys that fought for the titles, even Kevin Holland in the mix. Kevin Holland, who's doing very well in the UFC. And then after that, a couple of losses. I still don't agree with the cut, or I don't know what it was, because you had a 3-2 run with the UFC. You go back to Bellator, pick up a win. You actually split. You go 1-1, and then you finish with 2 losses in the PFL. What right there? Is there something that you just want to address? Or does it get your blood boiling, any of that? Are you pleased with the way things played out?
I'm definitely not pleased with the way they played out. You know, I feel like now that I go back, and I look at my career after the cut, I definitely wasn't the same Curtis. The motivation, like, it really fucked me up bad. Like, the motivation wasn't really there. Kind of went through, like, a depression to where, like, oh, damn, like, I'm not good enough. It was hard. It was definitely hard to get out of that. That first fight after the cut in Bellator, I thought I was okay. And it just wasn't right, you know. Definitely fighting during COVID. I'm not a big fan of that. You know, I'm real big on energy and the crowd, and that's no excuse, because you should be able to perform. Like, we're fighting, like, you fight every day, so it should be no excuse. But not having that energy from the crowd is different. And then, I'm in the gym every day. I grapple, I wrestle. A lot of things, these fans that talk a lot of shit about, oh, Curtis gets sub, Curtis can't wrestle. Yo, these are some of the best dudes in the world. You can't look at my record and say that I lose to a bum. I've never lost to a bum, ever. I've never lost to anybody that's not one of the best at that time. So,
yeah.
That's something I should have said, because if I'm going to give praise to the guys that you beat, because that was a good list. And in fact, if you think about it, that's one of the toughest five-fight runs for someone that starts off in the UFC. Because I left out Elizio Dos Santos, who was the guy that gave you your first loss in the UFC, and then Bilal Muhammad, who's a stud. He's doing well right now. But you sure as hell didn't get the Sean O'Malley treatment over there, man.
Exactly. So, yeah, and I feel like that. It's been like that my whole career. You know, I've never taken the easy route. I've always fought the best available.
Yeah. So. All right. Well, for now, we'll focus on the boxing match. Hopefully we get a chance to talk to you on Fight Week, see how your camp went for boxing. And then, of course, after that, whether it's the PFL or wherever you reside, you know you always have a home at MMA Junkie Radio. We'll talk about what's coming up in MMA as well in 2021.
I do have one more thing. I also have my promoter hat on. A really good friend of mine, Christian Gonzalez, who is also a former fighter, Bellator, fought a few times in Bellator. We have an amateur promotion, True Promotions. We're getting ready to have our second show here January 30th. I do all the matchmaking, and it's a very special show. It's fighters working for fighters. There's no promoters. There's no big money men behind it. It's just fighters strictly working for fighters.
What does that mean, fighters working for fighters?
You know, a lot of times you get promoters who have never really fought.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, they like these shows, like we understand what fighters go through. Like we give them decent amount, a bigger amount of ticket sales, because it is an amateur fight. So we give them better amount of ticket sales. That way they can take care of things they need to do. You know, driving to the gym every day isn't cheap. If you don't have a job or if this is all you do, it's tough. So we put a lot of work in to make sure the fighters are taken care of, making sure we put on great fights and a great show, a beautiful show. So for our first show, you can sit there and tell us that was an amateur show. The only thing that gives it away is the shin guards, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So
you're saying the people that are in executive type roles, like the matchmaker, president, or decision makers, they've been in these cages and rings, and they can relate with the fighter. They'll never be that whole, well, you don't know the struggle type of conversation, right?
Exactly. And we do everything we can to get the best guys available. If you want to fight, you know, let us know. If you want to fight, we're going to put you on. We're going to work hard to get you a matchup.
Where's the show based? Where are your shows at?
At the M3 Event Center in Anaheim.
M3 Event Center. Where's that at? Update me. I haven't been in
It's on Harbor Boulevard. We're about two or three blocks away from Disneyland.
Nice. All right. And the next show is January 30th?
January 30th.
That's awesome. All right. So promoter hat, boxer, and MMA fighter. And, of course, he's even doing the matchmaking for the organization. Sorry, what was the name again of the organization?
True Promotions.
True Promotions. Cool. We'll be on the lookout for that. Thanks as always for the time, man. It's always great catching up with you. And at some point, when Kawhi Leonard's done with the Clippers, you need to be done with the Clippers and come over to Lakerland.
I'm never going to come over to Lakerland. So my sons can play for the Lakers, and I'm still going to go for somebody else. I'm going to take the tickets in the house. But
I'll give up on that, but you got to reconsider Kobe's time at least.
I'll do that before the Lakers. I'll watch Cobra Kai again. Even if I have to suffer through it, I will watch it for you.
All right, man. All right. Thanks for the time, as always.
All right, man. You guys have a good one. Thank you.
All right. Well, shout out to Millender, man. You know, it's a bucket list thing, it sounds like. He gets the box. He grew up wrestling. And he's fought MMA. Says he's nowhere done with MMA, and I was glad to hear that. But the guy wants the box. Why not?
I've always been impressed by his demeanor and just like his philosophy towards life. He's always a positive guy, and you know, positive people are hard to keep down. So hopefully he can turn things around. 2022 be a great year for him.
Yeah. All right, folks. Look, we're going to cut it a little short. I'm going to see if I can get to some of the awards on the next show. I'll just have a couple to clean up, but I'm having trouble with my computer a little bit. So while we still have a little bit of a pulse here, we'll end. But thank you, as always, for your support. And don't forget, we're pretty much starting a fight week that's going to contain Invicta FC Wednesday here on MMA Junkie. And later on in the week, the UFC kicks things off for their 2022. And we have Giga Chikadze and Calvin Kattar. So we'll have all the best coverage for you here on the website. And don't forget to look out for Goz and I on Spinning Backclick and some of the interviews that we do. They're fully charged and put up over at youtube.com/MMA Junkie Video. Go out there and be a champion. We'll see you soon.